What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com. It is November 19th, 2021. This is your AEW Rampage and your WWE SmackDown review. This show brought to you by WrestleRumble.com. Head over to WrestleRumble.com. If you're watching Survivor Series this weekend, this is the perfect companion. Even if you're not, go make your picks, not just on who's going to win, how long matches will be, if people will go through tables, like what finishers will finish the match. All kinds of fun stuff that you can make predictions on at WrestleRumble.com, and you can win real money too. I play WrestleRumble every single month. I love it. It is, I mean, you can enter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. It doesn't really matter how many times you enter, but you can win $1,000. Second and third place win $100. I love this stuff. They do all kinds of contests over there. So I highly encourage you guys to check out our friends. That way you're not leaving with like the gobbledygooker or something being the highlight of your evening. You can leave with some money. WrestleRumble.com. Follow them at WrestleRumble. But we are here now, Fightful. We're going to be here all weekend. Grapsity on Saturday. We've got the Twitch watch along on Sunday, the post show on Sunday. But right now, we've got Kate Hensler. Kate, how you doing?
I am mostly doing well. I can't tell if I was just not into both shows tonight or if I just have a little bit of a sour hangover from what Alex and I did last night. Probably somewhere in between. I didn't think either show was particularly strong, but I'm sure, as has happened in the past when these releases have happened or things of that nature, like are disruptive in the flow industry-wise of watching the actual shows, I get a little distracted. But I'm good other than that. I got my flannel. I'm here. I'm happy.
People, Kate knows it's flannel season. You rule. That's funny, because when I wear flannel or plaid out to a dinner, people say that I'm dressed like a dad. Interesting, the way that the double standard of style in this world. But you know what, guys? There's no double standard on our Super Chats and Humper Chats. If you're not watching live, you can go over to humperchats.com and leave us a chat before a show, just really whenever you want ahead of a show, and we'll get to read it on the air. That is our Streamlabs platform. Obviously, we don't agree with some of the controversy regarding Streamlabs and their stuff, but you know what? They let us keep some more of our money, so it is greatly appreciated. If you head over to humperchats.com, you can still get your question or statement read with Super Chats, but we do encourage Humper Chats. Jambeard says, Killer Kate Foley rocking the flannel. That is a Mick Foley flannel right there.
It really is. And it's kind of funny because I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, I was talking about how much lumberjack matches are like my least favorite stipulation in the world. But now I'm out here sporting the lumberjack, the brawny towel man.
Ken Shiro says, I like your Brooks and Jensen costume, Kate.
Oh no.
And I didn't do the quick sell for Fightful Select, so I'll do that in a moment. Amir says, how's the asthma, Sean? Feel better? I had a collapsed lung like when I was in middle school, and it's been rough since then. This is the worst it's been since then. Still trying to figure out what like exactly how to fix that. But Tyrone Kidd, I can't even begin to sing this because I can't approach
yes,
it.
Yes, you can.
I can't because the one syllable in man like helps so much, but we get it. He's singing the William Regal theme. That's what's going on. But my God, guys, get in your Super Chats, get in your Humper Chats. And you know what? If you want more content, unfortunately, Fightful broke the news of 8 releases last night. That sucks. It always sucks. I did about an hour on stream last night. Then I hopped over because Kate and Alex on Fightful Select did a very sour edition. And I went over there and got a little bit more angry. So if you want to tune into that, you can do that at FightfulSelect.com. We are approaching our record number of subscribers, so it would mean an awful lot to me if you all supported us. Also today, I had a lot of backstage news on Hit Row, sort of the backstage reaction to them, the creative plans, and the future of at least one member. That's not stopping. This weekend, I've got a bunch of news on FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have news about Survivor Series before the show. I'm going to have a pretty major piece of Ring of Honor contract news. I'm going to have more news on the WWE releases. I'm going to have news on the new Terminus wrestling promotion, wrestling show that a ton of people are talking about with Jonathan Gresham and Baron Black. Like, it got incredible buzz this week. And of course, you know, lots of other scoops over there. And tonight we had the rundown of SmackDown, but people always tell us to cover AEW first. So that's what we're going to do. But Ryan Sullivan wants
us to do that. If you leave a thumbs up on this video, maybe.
Did I not tell people to do that?
I know everybody in the chat's yelling about it.
Bitches, leave a thumbs up. If you don't, listen, I took a picture with the wonderful Xenia from Russia, and she posted it on her Instagram, and her mom commented little hearts. And I said, hey lady, those for me, those for me. I will take a picture with every single one of you. And then when you post it to your Instagram and your mother leaves little hearts, I'll hit her with the, those for me. If you don't leave a thumbs up, if you don't subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, that will happen.
It will happen. And you know what? I think we all learned that you will also take anybody's mother to dinner, which is also wildly controversial.
You think I'm scared of what's going to happen then? Have you seen my social media this past week? It can't get any worse. It can't get any worse.
People will think that's a challenge.
Give us your money. If you don't have a credit card, steal someone's.
What it comes down to is that Fightful is the most subscribed to service on Patreon as far as wrestling goes. And ever in the history of the universe. So, I don't know. Don't you guys want to be cool is what I keep saying. Be a cool person.
Hannah feels insulted. I've heard too much about her mom to go after her mom. She's exempt. She's exempt. Sorry, Hannah. Makovsky says, it's taken me too long, but Alex looks like Gustavo from the Big Time Rush. Please look this up if you guys are confused. Okay, so Luis, our great moderator, posted a picture, and yeah. Brent Lockman says, she's a lumberjack and she's okay.
Thank you.
I got it.
That's
Ryan
the nicest
Sullivan,
thing anyone's ever said to me. You're okay. I'll take it.
Ryan Sullivan said, the scene in Fred Claus where Fred tells Santa that every kid deserves a present on Christmas gets me every time. I don't know if I've seen Fred Claus.
What? Yet.
I may not have. I think maybe I watched it last year.
Jonathan. Great. Yeah? One syllable. I had to make it more like scolding.
Well, yeah. My friends, the deceased twins, call me Jonathan all the time.
Of course, because you're for the ruckus.
I am for the ruckus, although my lack of hoodie saying so would not indicate such. Nerd Guru says, wasn't impressed with either show tonight, really. SmackDown is meaningless, and I don't like what they're doing with Cole. Post-releases, blues, I guess. Well, Nerd Guru, I have a funny story involving you, actually. There has been somebody.
Like his mom, right?
No. Okay. There's been somebody leaving us humper chats, and they're trying to, like, dig at me, saying, like, is Sean still being woke about the lack of representation? And I was like, listen, I'm not going to read your bullshit on the air. If you want to send something else, you can. Well, they tried to fake their name as Nerd Guru and send one of those. Like, I couldn't see the email associated with the Humper Chat. So, yeah. Nerd Guru, I thought you'd like to know that. And it's like, they're giving us money for this.
Oh, that rules. Unreal. And you don't even acknowledge it.
Well, I'm not. If you are mean, I'm not going to acknowledge
it. Oh, of course. But it's just even funnier of like, here's my money to be mean to you and not have it read is a special place in my heart.
It's wild. People get weird, man. But yeah, please leave a thumbs up on this video. I dropped an interview with a fellow by the name of Drew McIntyre today. Maybe you all will like it. And I know Drew does a lot of media. But I asked him questions that he just hasn't been asked. So there you go. FYI. Yeah. I love me some Sova says Tony Khan just tweeted that for Winter is Coming, we're going to get some info on the Owen Cup. The Winter is Coming show is the 15th of December. So that month starting to shape up with no WWE pay-per-view. I'm sure Impact will have some sort of event, but there you go. Tone says,
What if they just re-debut Sting? Just do it over again.
Tone says, Night Sean can't be here, so BTW, it'd be awesome to see Shane Taylor Promotions with Lee, Yim, and Adora hold all the gold at the same time in AEW as babyfaces. I don't see that happening. I could see Shane Taylor Promotions and Keith Lee forming something, though. He says also some fantasy matches, STP versus Leo and Top Flight, Gresham versus Pac versus Silver. Your thoughts? Oh, I love those matches. I love the idea of Shane Taylor Promotions bringing in Keith Lee. A lot of people have no idea that early on in their Ring of Honor run, Shane Taylor and Keith Lee were tag team partners. And Keith Lee obviously was the higher profile name then and still is now. But Shane Taylor has really, really added an awful lot to his profile of late.
He, in a promo said, "Those Los Ingobernables bitches." And I think it's my favorite thing that happened in wrestling this year, including the CM Punk return.
Yeah. Third Guru says, "Using my name for BS like that upsets me. Thanks for letting me know. I try to be as respectful as possible with my favorite post show. Take more money, FTF." You know what, buddy? I knew it wasn't you immediately. When Luis copied that over, I said, "That ain't my dude right there." So I looked at that email and I spotted it. Who says I don't do investigative journalism?
That's not our nerd guru.
It's not our buddy, not our friend. I know you guys. Brent Lockman says, "TK describing info in the Owen as a schedule instead of a bracket feels like a very good sign." We'll see when we get more information. I don't necessarily like the announcement of an announcement of an announcement. Like, because that's what happened today. He announced that today he'd be announcing that at Winter is coming, there'd be an announcement. I don't necessarily like that. I think you just could have waited. But here's the thing. Everybody was asking him about the goddamn Owen. So, I mean, we've been asking him every presser for the last couple of weeks. But we started off the show, Darby Allin versus Billy Ass and the Ass Boys, Rod and Todd Ass.
Of course.
So, in like, I understood this match. It wasn't for me. So this was very plodding. It was very slow. It was Billy Gunn, Billy Ass, throwing around Darby Allin like a sack of taters. But to me, there was way too much downtime in this match. Because if you are Billy Ass, I don't think you're going to spend that much time just chilling, goofing around with Sting, no. Doing that. Now, I get it. You got to slow it down. You got to slow it down. But I don't, this one just wasn't for me. I have a problem and not a problem with the kick out before one on the coffin drop because Darby Allin hadn't done like anything before that. So in a way I'm like, you know what? I get it. But then he hit another one right after that and got the pin. So I was like, okay, not too bad. Not too bad. How'd you feel about this match that was pretty much Billy Gunn throwing Darby Allin, then walking around the ring for a minute at a time?
So I didn't like this match before they even got in the ring. Let me explain that first. I feel like Darby Allin losing to CM Punk and losing to MJF could use some meaningful wins. I don't think that the Gun Club is the meal ticket to those meaningful wins. It made no sense to me. And I definitely don't think that we needed Darby Allin to... Because he's going to almost die in every match. I've accepted that at this point. But, like, I don't need him almost dying for Billy Gunn in 2021 on television. You know what I mean?
Billy Gunn is 43-6 in AEW. Oh,
yeah. But they should be ranked, to be honest.
Yes, like, yes, as a team. He's, like, 1-2 in singles, but tag team trios, all that stuff. Like, they're 8-0 as a tag team, 16-1 as a trios. Like, I get the idea of booking him against a, quite frankly, a household name. Almost everybody that watches wrestling knows who Billy Gunn is, period. Okay. If you don't know who Billy Gunn is, I don't know where you've been, but I get it.
Yeah, I just think, like, a program with Darby Allin and Ricky Starks might be a little more interesting than Darby Allin almost dying for Billy Gunn at several points. This was just not for me. It felt long and it wasn't that long of a match, which is not a good sign. And Darby's just insane. And I'm like, man, you're gonna fill up your bump card for Billy Gunn that hard? Like, I don't know. This wasn't for me from the booking standpoint. And then in the match, yeah, I hated the kicking out at one on the coffin drop thing because it just makes it
before one.
Before one, yeah. Because if you want to do too, because Darby hasn't really gotten any offense in, and Billy Gunn is legit a big ass dude. I'm fine also, with that, but it makes the finisher in general look weak.
Yeah. But thanks to Tony Shade for subscribing to Fightful Select during this show. Your mother is exempt, so shout out for you. Ali C says, Kate serving red vibes, Fightful, Taylor's version. Mm. C says, can't believe they buried Billy Gunn, the ass man. Well, Chris Reigns, who's been donating like crazy lately, big thank you, Chris, says, loved hearing the ass boys chant. Danhausen would be proud. That brings back good memories from the cruise. I feel like right now, if Danhausen was healthy, they would bring him in for like a one-off for just the aesthetic. Just the look of Darby with the paint, Sting with the paint, Danhausen with the paint, beating the ass boys. I think that would be great. Reese Power says, give me the ass boys versus Darby, Sting, and Danhausen. Well, unfortunately, Danhausen's out for probably several months. So,
yeah, that was a nasty break.
Jambeard says, killer Kate not liking Billy ass. Kate hates ass confirmed.
Please do not take that out of context. I have no problem with some ass.
It is all about the butt, and I no longer have that clip because I ran it into the ground. Sawyer says, the booking of the match makes no sense, but I'm low-key a huge Billy Gunn mark, and seeing him wrestle in 2021 makes me pop. Also, he's in arguably the greatest comedy of all time, The Other Guys, background at a Knicks game. So everybody deserves that respect.
Big arguably, I'm calling that the greatest.
That comedy, it has aged miraculously since the 2010s or whenever it came out, or like the maybe 2008, 2009, it has aged wonderfully.
I will say that that match was, for whoever just super chatted us last, that's perfect. If you're a Billy Gunn mark and it made you excited to see this match, and maybe you are someone who's tuning in after SmackDown and you see Billy Gunn, you're like, that's awesome, and holy shit, who's this dude? That's who this was for. That makes sense.
Cowboy Flint says, here's a Humper chat asking wrestling people to be less weird online. Yes, please. Please be normal. Ryan Sullivan says, doing this because I love being a super humper. Well, you donated it on YouTube. I don't even think it was a Humper chat. What are you talking about, Ryan?
Was his earlier one a Humper chat?
No, I don't think so. Daniel R says, any idea what's going on with New Japan and Noah? They're retweeting each other's tweet. They got a presser sign or set up for the same time. I would assume they're doing something together. Dylan Bishop says, with TK being a soccer guy, I see the Owen being a World Cup style format of many round robin groups followed by a knockout stage. And that sounds fun. It's football, not soccer, says Louise. I'm ready for something completely different out of the Owen. I think it should be something completely different. And yes, Ryan's earlier was a humper. Sorry for the disrespect.
Wow. Calling my Wednesday. Oh,
okay. That's why he did it as
a fraud.
So that's why he did it as a super humper. He did a super chat and a humper chat. My apologies, Ryan. I do sincerely apologize.
Faithful. There's no bigger betrayal than saying you're a super humper and someone saying you're not a super humper. All of you should also be super humpers by giving us money on both platforms.
Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky say they are not done with the Inner Circle by a long shot. Of course they're not. And I fear that AEW is leaning into rematches too much lately after a period of them like almost never doing them. But we're getting like an awful lot of like Jurassic Express and the Elite, and we're getting now a lot of Inner Circle, et cetera, et cetera. Daniel R says, can ATT and Inner Circle be done, please? I think they probably are for a while. I think they'll bring them back whenever they need them. But I get Men of the Year like continuing to go for it. It's just, I was a little bit of me was like, really? Do we gotta?
My hope is that this leads to Scorpio Sky getting a TNT title shot and or Ethan Page getting a TNT title shot, because that's
Ethan
a good
just
way.
Did, though.
Oh yeah. Good point.
Yes.
Forget that. Scratch that part. My other part. Great. Smooth sailing.
Great idea.
Great idea. I'm killing it on the first half of that book.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this is a transitional idea and not a situation where we're continuing these two stables, because I did notice in the promo, they said American Top Team. And then on commentary, Jericho said Men of the Year. and they were speaking for themselves again. So my hope is that this is a way to more gently transition the story into something that is either going to be a TNT title shot for Scorpio, or, you know, if it's Santana and Ortiz versus Sky and Paige, like, that's a little bit different. I just don't need it to be like all the Inner Circle all the time. But I've said a few times, there's two things with AEW with all of these staples. One is they don't know when to give up on the story.
Yes.
They just keep running them back.
I got a lot of people. I got a lot of people saying Jericho is going on tour soon. He ain't going on tour for 4.5 months. And by the way, he doesn't schedule Wednesdays on tour. He always schedules them off. So that tour doesn't mean anything. Everybody's been saying he's going to go on tour for like 4 years at this point. He doesn't work. He doesn't do tours on Wednesdays.
Yeah, it's surprising that that's not like a big moneymaker for live music. You don't have to do Wednesday.
Yeah.
But the other thing is with long-term stories, one thing they're good at is letting stuff simmer in the background and then picking it up and making it feel really hot. I think they're going to do that with Punk and Eddie. It's great. They don't have to continue a long-term story by having it on TV every week. They can turn up the heat on the burner when they want to. So my hope is that that's where this goes.
Sawyer says, I'll take Men of the Year versus the former LAX once or twice, then both teams, for the love of God, go for the titles. Yes. Yeah, I think if Santana and Ortiz win that feud, which that match is going to rule, then they should go for the titles. Absolutely. JRG says, I'm getting tired of the recent trend of bringing up size being a major factor in the matches. This has rarely been a thing previously in AEW, and it's killing me because it destroyed part of what made AEW unique. I do not think they should be ignoring size at all. Like, they should play into styles, make fights. The reality is, Darby is better now. Billy Gunn is old. Billy Gunn is, they even brought it up on commentary. He's training for a bodybuilding competition right now and staying in shape doing that. That's not optimal performance for him. He's not 30, 35 anymore. But I do think it's okay that somebody who has 100 pounds on a guy is able to muscle him around. I'm okay with that.
I would say that's also okay when, like, there's not a ton of really big dudes in AEW, so it is something that stands out when that's the case. Like, you could talk about Will Hobbs' size because there's not a lot of guys walking around that look like Will Hobbs. So there's part of it where I get what you're saying, where you don't want it to be like the story that's being told is just the dimension of the size, but there's also acknowledging something that's right in front of your face. And
plus they got to start mentioning girth. It's important. It's important. It's important.
So important.
Thunder Rosa cut a promo. It was good. It was simple. It was quick. She yells and curses in Spanish, and I love that. So does Tone, who says, sad about the releases, but glad AEW brought me back some much-needed joy. Another easy watch. Loves Rosa swearing in Spanish, but it getting beeped out. Excited to see my buddy Thunder Rosa at WrestleCade. Pops up in our chats here and there.
She's the best. And I was like, I don't know why she's like so lovable and adorable when she's yelling that people are stooges, but it was like, I don't know. She's just so likable. I loved it. It was short. It was simple. I like it when people know how to get the hell in and out on promos that don't go too long. It's valuable.
We have the Paige Bryan package. It's announced that Eddie Kingston will face Daniel Garcia on the Black Friday Rampage, but that's not it. QT Marshall cuts a promo and says, I want to face CM Punk in Chicago. And Punk goes, I've lost in Chicago, but I've won in Chicago a whole lot more. I mean, there were some people that were like, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks. I'm okay with this. I'm all right with this. Dr. Six Fingers Esquire says, I do appreciate AEW's post-pay-per-view resets where lower card folks start feuds with bigger names. QT after Double or Nothing, now the Ass Boys. I'm willing to give them time to build this. He says QT after Revolution. Well, this is so CM Punk can get an ass-whooping win in Chicago. I think that's what this is for.
Yeah, especially with Cabana losing to Danielson in all likelihood. So this was very like silly to me because QT Marshall said something about, like, he used go to sleep as a pun and then was like, get it. And then in Punk's promo, he was like, we'll find out who the bigger turkey is. Like, kind of just was like, let me meet you at your level of bad pun, which I, as a connoisseur of bad puns, really appreciated. this match will be fun. And I'm wondering if they're going to try and bring back that stable a little bit. And I think that's really interesting, right? You have Danielson running through the Dark Order, and you could very easily have CM Punk go through these guys too at the same time and just be putting over a lot of talent without jumping into title pictures or disrupting what's happening in them. So if that's, I don't know if Ogogo is coming back, if he's cleared to come back or anything like that, but even
I think
if
he
it's
just,
like,
I think he just headed back. I think he's back in the States.
That's really cool. Then QT Marshall's like a really great wrestler. Like people forget what a reliable hand he is. So I think that's great. And it also gives Punk time away from titles, getting kind of more inconsequential wins, and then visiting maybe this MJF stuff at the same time. Like, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, why not? Let's do it. Let's have some fun.
Alicia says, wasn't able to be on the Dynamite post show because I was at the show in Norfolk, and that was the best time of my life. Did not have a voice the day after, and I may or may not have cried while singing Cult of Personality. It is a special experience, and that music is a big part of that. T. Daniel Barber says, AEW has too many people to do all these rematches. That's my thing. They've got a loaded roster. You don't have to do rematches all the time. Brent Lockman says, shout out to Andy Williams, who is the Butcher. He says, think the dude tore his bicep Wednesday and then went right back to the stage. Crazy, tough bastard. I've not confirmed that yet. I'm working to confirm it. I did hear the report. But either way, hope he's doing okay. Definitely.
I have a super chat. I'll Venmo you later. Do you know if part of the reason they don't rotate talent or they do a lot of rematches has to do with the taping schedule, that like Rampage and Dynamite are in the same day or anything like that? Like, are they just able to travel with less people?
Yeah, I would imagine they're traveling with less people. I don't think they're bringing everybody there. There are some, like, it felt like 2.0 and Daniel Garcia weren't on the show for like a month at one point. So, and then they pop up though, and there they are, and they're good to go. So yeah, but I mean, then just bring new people in. Anna says, also the music is a big part of it when it's Phil. Looks like the music was a big part of it when it was Chris Jericho. For you, buddy. Buddy, pal, friend, our great moderator, and now I guess lead soprano. By the looks of it. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I saw her on screen singing Chris Jericho's theme.
And she's usually tweeting about how she's shaking her ass to Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, but we saw no evidence of that.
We did not.
They didn't show that on screen.
They did not.
I don't believe it happened. R26 says, didn't watch SmackDown and chose the live TJPW show over Rampage. But here's some money of the Humper variety for being awesome. Hey, watch what you like. And if you want to send us some humps, do it.
Thanks for humping.
Jay Panaccio says, both shows were just kind of okay today. Can we talk about the coolest thing in wrestling the last 2 days? Drake Maverick's video he posted on Twitter. Amazing stuff. It's almost like creative people can be creative when you let them. Everybody that gets into wrestling on their own are creators. They create stories, characters, moves, catchphrases, angles. And then when they get to be creative, they are. Very clear he saw the writing on the wall and had this produced ahead of time. And a thing that I noticed that a lot of people didn't, if you watch the open, it looks like his video from last year. It is actually a different take. If you watch them side by side, he had multiple takes of that video last year, which makes me wonder, did he work himself into a shoot last year? Did he know what that... makes you wonder. Jambeard says, if you want your girth to feel important, use Blue Chew. Rob Reed says, entering the stream late, enjoyed Rampage tonight. This is the first night in a long time. I just decided not to watch WWE. Still a bit sour from last night. That's also understandable. As is, I love me some Sova saying, lost my voice singing Judas.
Lake the says, Judas in your vocal cords, am I right?
No, not anymore. Lake says, I love Billy Gunn because I'm old and remember him and the Smoking Guns doing cowboy shit before Adam Page was born. Was it before Hangman Page was born? Let me see.
Hangman could run.
It wasn't before he was born. Wasn't before he was born.
You got fact-checked, sucker.
Although, Hangman Page is the youngest AEW world champion of all time now. How about that one?
Yeah.
At 30.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
At 30. How about that? So I would imagine that would make either Baker or Sheeta may be the youngest world champion of any kind, but I'd have to look. Somebody look that up for me. Luis, our good friend.
Oh my goodness. Like, he doesn't do enough for us.
Please look that up for us. We had Jade Cargill defeating Red Velvet. This is a story that has had threaded through. Thought it was a pretty solid match. I love Jade Cargill. I love the way she pins people. I just love the way she pins people. She hits a good 2.9 kick out. Oh, Riho was the youngest by far. By far. Oh,
duh, of course.
What do you think of Jade and Red Velvet?
It had its moments. There were some spots here that did not work. I'll say this. When Jade Cargill does some power moves, she does some damn power moves. And especially with women that are Red Velvet stature, they look great. There are just some things that make me nervous if they're continuing on the trajectory that she's on to be the first champion. Now, the TBS title might be very different than the women's championship title. The TBS title may very well be something that changes hands a lot faster, is more of a workhorse title. Her first loss could be a title loss, and then that makes that reign feel like something very big and important and makes her look really good in the process. This just wasn't great for me. And part of that, I think, is just Red Velvet. I wrote in my notes, Darby Allin, I've accepted he always looks like he's going to die. And then I said, same for Red Velvet.
You're right.
I think there were just points in this where they're both a little bit greener. So that thing of I'm an absolute powerhouse and I'm an absolutely flying through the air sometimes just becomes like a little bit too much kinetic energy. So there were just some scary moments in here and some moments that just didn't feel or look great in my opinion. But, you know, to me, if I were booking this and I had originally had Jade on this path, I might consider switching it to a Statlander or a Ruby Soho. Or if I did want to stick with Jade, I would likely have her lose to someone, get crossed by someone, and have her first loss be a title loss and kind of earlier in her reign. Because I think the look she has and the charisma she has are so special and unique to her. But until she's a little bit stronger ring-wise, I think she should continue with some squashes and maybe have a shorter reign if that's going to be the case.
WDB Mark sends a super chat and says, aside from Big E, no invasion angles, terrible build. On the other hand, Jade and Velvet have improved immensely from their previous match. Great stuff. Yeah, I think even with those criticisms, the improvement is evident. Yeah. Jambeard says, had to do a thumbs up because Judas number one fan Cher told me to. Miss both shows, but I think Jade is TBS championship material. I think they'll accentuate the positives, hide the negatives for her. And I think that she'll be on some tape shows defending here and there. That's probably smart. And Nerd Guru says, after that Jade match, strap up Rosa. I don't care if the story with Britt is there because there's a wealth of free agent women out there now. So, yeah, I think with Ember Moon available, that kind of opens it up because I think she's immediately a main event level talent. I think Tegan Knox is around where Ruby Soho is as well. She hasn't had that big main event level run. Who else is available out there now? We've got a free agents article or post out there on our resources section. I don't brag about that enough, guys. Over at FightfulWrestling.com and Fightful.com, we have a resources section that has all the rosters. It has the updated free agents list. It has an update of top independent wrestlers, viewership, King of the Ring, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania winners. As I'm looking, you've got your Chelsea Greens. If they were going to bring her in, they would have already, I think, at this point.
Trisha, Dora, and Willow worked,
yes,
right?
Yes, Willow. But I'm talking like globally exposed. There's sure. Frankie Monet, for sure. I could see Chelsea coming in and doing like a TBS title open challenge. I could see her popping up in that capacity. Mercedes is not signed yet. Mickey could pop up, and that would be a good opponent for Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, in the future, I think.
Wait, Mercedes isn't signed? I thought she was.
I don't think she signed. I think she's just doing Impact dates.
They should sign her.
Probably should. A lot of people should probably sign her. Yeah, I think there's some. Like, I could see a lot of people coming in and doing one-offs for the TBS title, open contender. Roxy is another one. But again, globally exposed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob Reed says, the Matrix-esque fall-away slam from Jade was insane that it was. Joey Bag of Donuts says, Jade versus Red Velvet looked like when Ray fought Big Show. Styles do make fights. Styles do fights.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Rain says, I hope they don't miss with the first TBS champion like I feel like they did with the first women's champion. And that's understandable. It felt like they missed with a lot in the reigns of a lot of the women's champions. Dr. Six Fingers Esquire asks if Big Swole was okay. I actually talked to Big Swole this week, and she was in good spirit. She sent some love to our friend Jesse, who is in the hospital battling some stuff. So I sent her a thank you, and she was very nice and very caring about it, but has not wrestled for a couple of months. She battles Crohn's. I don't know if that's what has her sidelined, but out of action right now. Is Ricky Starks injured? He says that he's fine and cleared and good to go. But I mean, they don't have him in there getting the reps of somebody who is, but he says he is. Will Ware says, me, you know, I agree with Alex that I really don't like Jericho these days. Also me. Get legitimately tilted when ATT attack Inner Circle when I went to Dynamite at Indy and cut off Judas. It's a part of it. Like, if I were AEW, I would find an excuse to play every one of those licensed songs. Punk, Orange Cassidy, Moxley's theme, Jungle Boy's theme. Like, all of those at tapings. You got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Wyatt 12 says, as Danhausen said, Chris Statlander for Sci-Fi Network champion. My God. And Nico Rigoli says, I like how Jade Velvet has quietly set up as AEW's biggest mid-card women's feud. Maybe Velvet will be the person to take the TBS title off Jade. I find it funny that Punk's next opponent is someone else whose name is just two letters. I think eventually Velvet gets her win over Jade, but I think it'll be quite a while. I think it'll be quite a while.
Yeah, and I would also argue, I guess you can't really call it a mid-card when we're talking about Sheeta and Serena Deeb. Like,
yeah.
It kind of, it feels crazy to call it that, but I would say that that story, and in general, one thing to give a lot of credit to with this tournament is we are seeing women's stories get developed out of it, which is a huge complaint that I've had with previous tournaments on both sides, with the men's and the women, and most companies have had that issue this year. So it's nice to see some long-term storytelling in the women's division, and using a tournament is a great device to get it, i.e. all of New Japan.
So people in the chat have mentioned Mia Yim as well and Lana, but I think if Lana comes in, she's going to be doing something with Miro. That's, I don't think it'll be in that other particular role. Well, we had Cole and Fish, Future Shock, Undisputed Era, losing to Jurassic Express. This was, again, very similar to the match Saturday, except it was without all the weapons. It was very much a spot-heavy thing. There was one spot where production was really helped out. It's when Luchasaurus whiffed on that wheel kick, but the wheel kick was behind the head, so you couldn't see it. And the ramp was on the side where you would have been able to see it. Meanwhile, Cole was blocking the view on the other side, so it ended up working out okay. You could just tell by the trajectory of his foot that it didn't land, but otherwise there were some incredible spots in this. I did feel like at one point Cole had to wait around a little bit for a spot to unfold, but there was some really fast-paced action, and Cole leaving O'Reilly out to dry, or not O'Reilly, Cole leaving Fish out to dry. O'Reilly's about to leave WWE out to dry, I think. This makes me wonder, where is this going? Kenny's going to be out for months, probably. For months. And I had people saying,
after hearing what his body has been through, I hope he's out for months.
And I had people saying, what about the Undisputed Elite? And I was like, that would actually be really good. If you did Undisputed Elite for like 4 or 5 months and Cole led them, and then Kenny Omega comes out and he goes, what the fuck is this shit? Like, what is this? And then you branch off and you go, and Kevin Owens is going to pop up at some point.
That was going to be my thing, is what if Mount Rushmore gets involved in the mix here? Like, there's so many angles that they can go. And I feel like they do have long-term visions for their things, but like some of that might just literally depend on if Kevin Owens signs there, like, because there's so much you could do with Mount Rushmore, the Elite, and Undisputed Era under the same roof, sharing so many members.
You mean the Undisputed Era?
Era, excuse me. Yes.
Undisputed Era is trademarked. Thank you. Evan Wright says, Luchasaurus with fans back is an amazing sight. And Zach Schimmel says, Adam Cole made me mad leaving Fish out to dry. Maybe it's because of watching Undisputed Era 2018 to their death. Cole is my favorite, and it worries me of a reunion as this is the second time. Does this make sense? Am I jaded? I would love it if, like, Kyle O'Reilly, they've got to reference it, because wrestling history is AEW history. They reference it. And like, maybe even something like, listen, buddy, we fought it out. We're okay. That place will drive anybody crazy. I think that would be a nice thing.
Okay, I had an idea. Well, somebody else had an idea, and I named it this.
Okay.
What if on BTE, you had Adam Cole being Keith Lee's manager, and you called it Budge It Cuts? Because it's like cuts of the show, and then the Budge thing. Anyway, main event was really good, had some really fun spots. I just was like, hey, I saw this like 5 days ago. I didn't need to see it again, but some really, really cool stuff. And there's just so much here because the champion kind of somewhat sort of mended bridges with the Young Bucks. Like, they seem to acknowledge that this was his time. What does that mean? What does that mean when Kenny comes back? Is Kevin Owens going there? Like, there's so many layers to this, and they're so good at just sitting in them that I think what they can do is say, okay, this is who we ended up with, whether it's Owens, O'Reilly, whoever, whether it's the box of New Japan talent that they keep spilling out into America, which is super fun for a nerd like me. Like, there's so many different places they can go. This might be one of the few instances that they don't have it completely clear in their head yet. They probably have like seven different options, and they'll go with whatever comes down the ramp with whoever they sign. So, but this was great. I didn't need to see it again though. Put Ricky Starks on my screen. Put other people on my screen.
Evan Wright says, give me Omega, Steen, and Cole trio, please. And Brent Lockman says, the Chasing the Dragon variation looked brutal. I giggled like a schoolgirl. I did miss that. I definitely did.
Yes. Yeah.
Nerd Guru says, been trying to think of a spot for Gargano in AEW, and I keep coming back to like a year-long TNT title reign that just puts on nonstop bangers. You know what? I got to credit my dude Cold Kill on Twitter, because I hadn't even considered this, and he was like, I think Johnny Gargano being added to Best Friends is what can put them over the top.
Ooh.
And I was like, you know what? He would fit in with their funny stuff and their serious stuff. I think that'd be a really, really good one. Also, we didn't mention Sting and Billy Gunn are apparently going to have a match. I'm not excited for that at all.
No, I hope
I'm not.
I'm never rooting for like interference. I like clean wins and losses, but I'm like, please God, let this actually be about Darby and Austin Gunn.
This is true long-term storytelling.
This is the longest-term storytelling.
This is storytelling from Billy Ass running in on Sting's WrestleMania match. That's what this is.
I mean, Arn and Tully teased that they were going to have something, so why not?
Let me see if they've ever faced each other. I wonder if they did in TNA. They had to have in TNA. Like, Billy Ass was there too long.
Billy Ass was there for a very long time. Sting, well, before his ass
boy. Sting wrestled Billy Gunn, get this, not in TNA, at NWA Mid-Atlantic, some random show in South Korea. Wow. And then they did a six-man tag match where Sting actually teamed with the Road Dogg and Booker T, and they beat James Storm, Kip James, and Robert Roode. My God. My God. Sting and Billy Gunn main evented that South Korea show.
They Damn. Never faced each other outside of that?
No, I gotta say, pretty decent card. Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles, DDP, Raven. Nydia was on that show. I actually interviewed her about that show. Not a terrible show for South Korea.
It's not bad at all.
Not bad. Jam Beard says, if Jade does become the TBS champ, I'd like to see her first challenger be Riho. It'd be a fun contrast of styles. I'm sorry, buddy. She'd have to crush Riho. She'd have to just abuse Riho.
Yeah.
And that. Kind of like my sleep cycle was abused last week, Kate.
Oh, no. Why, Sean?
Slept on those terrible hotel beds. It wasn't for me. It's not good for me. So I got home and I slipped into a coma. Quite frankly, when I got home, I slept in a 24-hour period, 13 hours. I don't think I've ever done that, but I did it thanks to Helix. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Can you believe it?
I can't believe that.
Well, you should, because I don't report crap.
Wow.
Kate. I tell the truth.
I don't know.
I tell the truth, and I'm reporting that you will get your best night's sleep on a Helix mattress. Now, you might say, wait, I'm ordering this mattress. How am I going to make sure it's good? Well, you take their quiz. That's how. That's what I did last year when I didn't want to go to a mattress store and roll around on some mattress that a bunch of other people have been rolling around on. Helix knows that everybody's unique. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. They have ones that align your spine, ones that cool you down if you sleep hot. They have ones that reduce aches and pains, even a plus-size mattress for plus-size sleepers. You take the quiz. I was matched with the Dusk-Lux combo, and before that, I slept only on my back. Now I'm able to sleep on my side. It's helped out my lower back an awful lot. It has increased my spinal health just significantly. I don't sleep on that terrible slab of memory foam anymore that I thought was good for me, I thought was a good deal. I decided, you know what, I'm going to invest in my sleep, because you're spending ideally at least one third of your day in bed if you're getting a healthy night's sleep. So why not actually invest in it? And I did that. I loved it. And then I hit up Helix and I was like, let's work together. And they said, heck to the yeah. And they also wanted me to say, oh, by the way, you know what? We got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. So if you go, you take that quiz, you order your mattress, it comes there. 100 nights? That's like, that's well, that is longer than WWE's non-compete clause. And they'll come and pick it up for you. They're not gonna make you send it back in a trash bag or something. They'll come and get it for you. And right now, they're offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows. When you go to helixsleep.com/fightful, I'm so happy that we're going to be working with them throughout 2022 as well. It has legitimately changed my life. I even like their furniture. They're all form furniture. It's rad, too. Check that out. I like that, too.
What else do you like, Sean?
Good night's sleep. That's about it.
There you go. That's all you need.
Nerd Guru says, Survivor Series is a 1.5 match show. Let's be real. Becky and Charlotte should main event. The rest, the talent will win out, but there's no stories. There are no stories, but I am excited for some of the matches. This Becky Charlotte video, I really liked, though. I thought it was really well put together. But when the highlight of SmackDown is the video packages and video promos, that ain't great.
Not great. Not great at all. Both video packages that we saw tonight, I thought were very, very well done. But I, in the similar vein, tweeted like, hey, our wins matter, don't matter. Our losses don't matter. Our titles don't matter, because we just trade them and then talk about brand supremacy. And nobody can get invested in characters because we might just release them. What can you do for us, production team, is what this felt like to me. Dare I say, they knocked it out of the park. But I've said this before, where I feel like they're going to run that same video package at Survivor Series, and their video production is almost too good, where it makes me feel like, why did I just sit through the past 6 weeks of this muddy, crappy build when you could catch me up to speed and make me more emotionally invested in those like 6 minutes or whatever than you have with your 7 hours of television over the past month and a half or so. So it's not their fault that they do such a great job. It makes everything else feel obsolete.
Yeah.
It's what's missing in the rest of WWE that makes it feel that way, but outstanding. And I just also like the feel of the, like, the tail of the tape stuff just feels very sports-based, feels very MMA. Like, because this feud between Charlotte and Becky, whether you believe it's partially a work or not, like, this has felt different, or they've tried to make it feel different than the other 974 times they faced each other. And it's felt much more like personal and like a fight. So I like that they leaned into that with the direction of the assets that they were providing around that.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get in your super chats or your humper chats at humperchats.com. We've only got two chats for SmackDown. We've got more leftover Rampage chats than we do SmackDown chats. Alicia Ellis says Kip Sabian was in the entrance to the arena at Norfolk taking pictures with the box on his head. He's been doing that for a while now. Dick Togo, or Ready to Go, I read that as Dick to Go from New Japan, says, the thing that frustrates me the most about QT Marshall and the Ass Boys is Darby is that AEW have got future stars like Ricky, Powerhouse Hobbsley, Moriarty cooling on the bench. Starks especially should be doing more than commentary. It sucks. I just don't know his health status. Like, I hope it's okay. I just don't know his health status. Hope you got your dick to go, though, for sure.
I just can't do in-house dick anymore. You got to get it to go, but...
Yeah. Plus, they add the girth when you get it to go.
Yeah, it's just like a little bit bigger proportion, you know? So that's just wonderful. But Starks had a very severe neck injury, and that's not something you want to screw around with. So even if you're cleared to compete and not sitting on the sidelines, that doesn't always necessarily mean the best thing is for you to be wrestling right now, so...
So Luis says that Billy Gunn wrestled Sting in 1989. I'm pulling it up on YouTube right now.
Billy Ass
as Kip Montana. My God. I can't see his face because he's getting just mollywopped by Sting, and they're cutting to like hot women in the crowd. That is him. By God. Here we go.
Timelessly hot women, or were they like 1989 hot women?
Okay, the hair was 1989 hot, but okay. Still a beautiful woman.
Still babes.
Yes. Still nice. A beautiful woman, yes. So 33 years later, just unbelievable.
Long-term Colt, storytelling.
Colt says, just wanted to check in and say thank you for all your hard work. SRS, you're one of the best in the game, and Kate's been a fantastic addition to the team.
Oh, thank you.
Keep it up. Thank you so much. And Jay Shell, our friend, says, hey, guys. I almost said happy gays.
I mean, happy gays are great.
Happy gay, yeah. I hope all of our gay viewers are very happy. We hope our gay viewers are gay, quite frankly. Jay Shell says, hey, guys, happy Fightful Friday. Just joining. Can't wait for my favorite and Kate's favorite to fight each other while we lose it on Twitter. Who is that? Not Jay Shell. We know who Jay Shell is. But
Jay Shell. Wants to marry happy gays. Jay Shell wants to marry Daniel Garcia, and I keep telling her that she's not allowed while she's under my roof. Okay, young lady.
Yes.
So that is, I think, her favorite.
Just remember the Fightful slogan: Monday, Tuesday, happy gays. Thursday, Friday, happy gays. Yes.
Wednesday, AEW Dynamite.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. We were supposed to get, there were some changes to tonight's show. There's supposed to be Sami Zayn versus Mansoor. I don't think that ended up happening.
No.
Unless I missed it.
Nope.
Instead, he's backstage and he complains about not being in the Battle Royal or not being in Survivor Series and not getting his documentary. And then Sonya says, oh, well, to honor 25 years of The Rock, we're doing a 25-man battle royal. So on the Twitch watch along Sunday, in order to commemorate my 5.5 years at Fightful, there's going to be a 5.5-man roast battle royal where at least 5.5 people have to roast one another. It can be man or woman. It's just, you know, the terminology.
Person, yeah.
Roast each other, and the winner wins something. So, Joel, 5.5, we can round it up to 6, like Armageddon 2000. I want to commemorate 6 years. We got to do it. A roast battle. And then you clip it and you put it on the Distraction YouTube channel or Fightful Scraps.
But you have to only have like 8 people on staff left when you do that, because that's what the case is here. It's a 25-man battle royal with 27 people currently on the main roster, I think. Is that right? Was it 27? Yes. It was something like that. Yeah. Not great. Not great at all. Great. And also kind of lame that it's brand supremacy season and you're throwing guys from both brands into this thing. It makes no sense. Oh, all the happy gays.
Bezos says, gonna be at Survivor Series, and if it wasn't off name value alone that I get to see my favorites, I would not be interested. However, that Char Lynch package was beautiful. They're the best in the game when it comes to that. They really are. Bezos says they always rely on their production team to save themselves. They made Sasha Bianca match actually seem like it had a good build. That's the thing. If you just tune into WrestleMania, you would think, damn, they built the hell out of this show. Mm-hmm. But they don't. It sucks. But they pieced together enough stuff to make it seem like you didn't waste your time. King Reezy says, Sean, with all the roster getting thinner and thinner, do you think they'll start signing short-term deals? And if they like you, they'll give you a long-term deal. Yes. I mean, they are making efforts to re-sign some pretty big people, but I think we're leading towards shorter-term deals in general. We're not getting the 5-year offers anymore for some. Okay, I don't want to say anymore. For the majority of people, it's more like 3 years. They're not signing people 1.5 years ahead of time. They're signing people a couple months ahead of time. Also, the names, like even the Anthony Green class of people were like shorter term deals, then got extended. So they were already kind of doing that. We had a bunch of short matches. Nakamura defeated Angel Garza. We had Jeff Hardy defeating Madcap Moss. Quite frankly, I don't have anything to say about these matches. They happened. They were short. They existed. A person won. Jeff Hardy won. Shinsuke Nakamura won. Jeff Hardy brought out Drew McIntyre, who we interviewed today. Check out youtube.com/Fightful. But these two matches were just, bam, quick, move on. And the boot, like they were setting up a tag match between Garza and Nakamura. But it's like, I don't want to see it. I already saw him get his ass whipped real quick.
Well, yeah, like we had the tag match where the Los Lotharios went over. Don't confuse me with the Spanish speaker. I know my pronunciation was amazing. And they won. And now Shinsuke won. Like, Jeremy said on the Distraction earlier that part of the reason he was like waning on doing the show was because he got really tired of saying like, then ring work was good, but the booking makes no sense, blah, 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 blah. And I was every like, time. Wow, Jeremy walked so that I could walk at the same pace, because nothing has changed the time that Jeremy has left to me being here. So it is, this is like just, that was the perfect microcosm of this, right? Like you have a title holder, they're going to 50-50 it to death. We might get a blow off at some point, but like if Los Lotharios just became a tag team, what's the point of doing it with your IC champion? That makes no sense. So like, it's just the same rut that we've been in. So I don't have a ton to say. This is a very anticlimactic reign from an incredibly skilled wrestler in Shinsuke Nakamura. Pat McAfee is the best part of this match. Like him just popping for Nakamura's theme every time Boogs plays it is—it's the best. It's just the greatest.
A bit of breaking news, thanks to Luis. New Japan versus Noah will be night 3 of Wrestle Kingdom. That is pretty rad. That's pretty rad. And that is not a rad week for us. That's going to be a, I'll be using that helixsleep.com/Fightful on that week. It's going to be a tough one. Let me check out that schedule.
You're nocturnal anyway, Sean.
You stay up very, very late. You do too. Oh, God. The 4th is a Tuesday. The 5th is a Wednesday. Oh, that week is going to suck. Man, I can't wait.
I will say, as someone who got into this like later, this being companies outside of WWE and New Japan in particular, the past 4 or so Wrestle Kingdoms that I've watched, it's really fun that it's just a bunch of dorks losing their minds over New Japan booking and matches at like 4 a.m. on Twitter. There's something like very fun about being like, you know what? I just have coffee or an energy drink in my hand, and like wrestlers are usually watching, I find too. Like there's a lot of wrestlers talking online about it. So this last time I fell asleep with my laptop open, like I tapped out at one point, but it's a very fun communal and feels like this weird slumber party.
Again, guys, subscribe to Fightful Scraps, youtube.com/Fightful Scraps. Kyler does a lot of great work over there. We have a lot of clips. We have a lot of specials. We have a lot of things over there. When I was getting the watch hours up for that, we just did 4-hour watch alongs of Wrestle Kingdom earlier this year. So now we've got 3 different channels. We've got 4 different channels if you count Twitch. Who knows what the hell is going to be going on there? Jambeard says, "Who's the half in the roast battle?" Denise might be short enough. Denise is, I think she'll be back in time for it this weekend. Yeah, she will be. Tony Storm interview after the Shotzi Sasha match, but Charlotte shows up. Tony has been added to this team after disappearing. And Brandon says, "The moment Tony Storm was announced as the last member of SmackDown, without her graphic even being ready, I knew this pay-per-view was an afterthought from everyone involved. Time to scrap it." No, when the answer is time to scrap it, or when people say that, I say, no, it's time to give a shit about it. Yeah. It's time to give it some care. It's time for them to care about it. Don't just scrap something because they don't care. They need to start caring about it. Survivor Series can be good. There can be matches with stakes. To me, a Survivor Series elimination match can and has been some of the most exciting wrestling television I've ever seen. But this isn't it, and none of this will matter.
What's insulting about it, too, is this is probably one of the easiest builds to a pay-per-view you could ever have and how you set up a pay-per-view. It's ridiculous that we didn't have qualifying matches. It seems like whenever they do one of these Saudi Arabia shows, whatever follows suffers. So, but to your point, I get the temptation of saying scrap stuff. A, Survivor Series is not when you scrap. That's one of the big ones. You don't do that. B, like, takeovers were great and they happened all the time. To me, a big problem of the way WWE is going about its pay-per-views, non-pay-per-views, is the fact that the gimmick determines the programming and not the other way around. I've said that before, so sorry if this is repetitive for people watching, but it's like, when it's already decided that this pay-per-view is happening in this style, this way, it makes it much more difficult to back into good programming and to give people something different than you've seen before, which is why you have dumb things like no finishes in a cell and cutting Finn Balor's wrestling ropes from under him. It's because they don't know how to diversify that and they're too lazy to be creative about it. So I think it's more the gimmicks determining things, but if you ran with your big 4, Survivor Series being one of them, that's fine. They're capable of producing great monthly pay-per-views. They just need to give a shit about it and not scrap stuff that is a part of their history that they hate to acknowledge for some reason.
Oh, man. So we got a great Xia Li vignette. It was comic book style. It does seem very WWE to be like person from China coming to defend their family and all that. But the production of it was incredible.
So cool.
Unlike anything I've ever seen done in WWE, and I love that. They need to do something different, something captivating. I thought this was captivating, but I'll tell you what else was different. The Tian Sha vignettes and what happened. We'll see.
Oh boy.
What'd you think of this?
Of Zaya's?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought this was really cool. To your point, it was something that I hadn't seen before. And the fact that it's kind of a more stereotypical story along the lines of what WWE does didn't bother me, because it also felt like a story that was in line with like this kind of cartoon character, comic book style that they were laying it out in. So it felt like at least consistent. And I, to be honest, like my faith in the project is so low. I was like, oh, cool. She's just going to come out with a sword. Like that's going to be her whole thing. So it's nice that we saw like an actual build here. This was one of my favorite parts of the show, and it shouldn't be a video package. That's my favorite part of the show really ever.
Yes. Yes. We had Shotzi versus Sasha Banks. This was a good match that I wanted to be longer. Jambeard says that the Xia thing feel like Mulan, and not really to me. But Shotzi Sasha is a match that I've wanted. They are so good in the ring. Like I'm so happy that they're booking them together. Shotzi got beat with an arm in bank statement and was forced to shake Sasha's hand afterwards, and then Sasha beat her up again. This is Sasha. She doesn't need to be a face. She doesn't need to be a heel. She needs to be Sasha. Let her be Sasha. And that's what Sasha would do. She would just do that and then dance off and troll around. And I'm okay with that. How did you feel about the match and that type of reaction?
So the match, to not a surprise to me, was great. There were some really great spots in here. People chanting for Eddie Guerrero, I thought was really nice. And her going up to the rope. Her Meteora is great. That finish was awesome. Shotzi yelling stuff in the ring about Sasha being trash did not work for me, because Sasha's not trash. Like, if you're going to trash talk, do something that still feels relevant to the story you're telling. To say a legendary multi-time champion is trash is just not, it's not even what the story turned out to be, like, started as, right? So, but overall, I thought the match was fantastic. I don't like Sasha doing that at the end. I don't think faces should do stuff like that. When it's something as like honor Cody as a handshake, especially if they had just finished the match and she did that to her as a slap in the face. But again, very sick of Coexist. And I also thought the promos going into this were absolutely terrible. Like, they basically, it felt like, were trolling us with how they weren't going to say the word bitch. And then surprise, they said the word bitch anyway. Wow. Like, just Coexist, bitch, rinse, repeat. Like, do better than that. But the match itself was, I thought, was fantastic. Oh, Sean lost his sound. Did you great mute yourself, Sean?
Yes. Nerd Drew says Shotzi
muted. What a...
Now I'm gonna mute her. Shotzi was over as a babyface, says Nerd Drew. Turned heel, got everything that made her cool taken away, and just kind of lost tonight. I've seen this story before. I think Shotzi could work better as a baby, or better as a heel than welcome to the ball pit or whatever the hell it was she was saying before. The promos were way worse as a baby face, I thought. But this just doesn't inspire a lot. Bezos says, love the callback to the EC 2019 finish. Great match. That is a good shout. Definitely a good shout.
Yes, that was great.
Kenshiro says, the scrap it mentality is like taking all the wheels off a car and going, man, this thing can barely drive now. Better get rid of it. Exactly. You fix the problem, not create more problems.
Yeah, and there's, like, I would have less of a problem with what Sasha did being ambiguous as a face and a heel, and I would have way less of a problem with Shotzi turning heel if we had more than 21 women here and there were not that many faces involved in anything. Like, it's just... all those little things seem to carry so much more weight because there's just such a lack of programming. But there's women on TV having matches that are longer than 3 minutes. So that's neat. And the match was great.
Well, we had the five or four way. It was Ricochet, Cesaro, Jinder, and Sheamus. And Ridge causes, I thought, a well-executed distraction. There's not going to be a whole lot more that you see executed as well as that. The highlight to me was the Cesaro swing on Jinder, which I thought Jinder took as well as anybody, and definitely better than anybody near his size has ever taken it. Sheamus getting added to the team is just, I don't know. It's like one of those things where, okay, it establishes that team. It doesn't establish a lot of excitement, I guess, but.
No, the near falls for Cesaro and Ricochet had huge crowd reactions, and then Sheamus won. It feels like very much what happens with Liv Morgan on the women's side with both Ricochet and Cesaro, where everybody's behind them and they just won't put them in prominent spots, which is a bummer. Yeah. But the distraction, you know, shocker, we get a distraction, but a well-executed one at least fits the story that they're trying to tell. I did pop for them being like, we're going to go to the bar.
Yeah.
After that was kind of fun, but I would normally be more upset about the fact that it's Sheamus and not somebody else, but like, I don't really care in the first place. So like they haven't given me a reason to.
Heading down the home stretch, fellas, get in your super chats and humper chats, whatever.
And happy gays.
Joseph Smirk says, Zaya's promo is more like the Oren Ishii origin story from Kill Bill Volume 1. As a Tarantino fan, I liked it. That is a great shout. And he also says, New Japan versus Noah, inject it into my veins. Well, by God, we are. And Zach Schimmel says, SRS, hope you're doing well. I've been dealing with the same.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Stuff for a year. Kate, love everything you do with Fightful. You are special. Love Fightful, but I don't do WWE anymore. Have a great night. I'm headed to Twitch. Not trying to plug. #FTF. Well, you know what, Zach? I wish you would plug because you have donated us an awful lot in the past, and we'd be more than happy to plug your Twitch. So if you ever want us to do that, I'd be happy to. But we love Zach Schimmel here. He's been a longtime supporter. But Kate, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me at Kate on Deck. I see on Twitter. You can catch me on Tuesdays, losing my ever-loving mind with Alex Pawlowski on Sour Graps right after NXT or whenever they release people. Now, I guess we just do those bonus episodes for you on Select every 2 weeks. You can find me Wednesdays on the Mark Order Podcast at Mark Order Pod, where we talk all things Elite. And every Friday back here with this guy when he's not asleep on his Helix sleep mattress. We're doing this.
Guys, we have so much at Fightful. Oh, we've got another segment to cover. It's just sad that nobody super chatted about it.
Oh, no.
Roman Reigns was on the show.
Oh. Yeah, I have notes about
it. And somebody says Jeff had a comment. We ain't talking about that stupid ass comment. Okay, yeah, we will. Jeff said, what was it? Oh, geez. My gosh, I forgot half this show. I forgot half this show. That's how inconsequential it was.
It's pretty forgettable. I mean, what So
we were about to end the show without talking about the Aaliyah match, by the way.
Well, because nobody that else wants to talk about it. Like, it nobody's sending in super chats because we don't
Nobody's sending super chats, by the way.
So Aaliyah Jeff versus Naomi, or do you want to talk about that?
Like, yes, we got to talk about that.
Okay.
Bad looking Thez press there. And then Naomi gets screwed. This is a go-home show. I was about to wrap up. I completely forgot that that Roman Reigns was on this show.
It's because it was so bad.
It wasn't
even that bad. It was that forgettable.
In this tag match, there's a fast count on the ref, or the ref does a fast count on Naomi. And backstage, Jay Shell does point out, racist with Naomi and Aja after Hit Row, how great. It does seem concentrated that they make the ref be a black woman in this situation. But Sonya, I don't think, is being aggressive because of race. I think she was being aggressive because she didn't want to be complicit in this situation. She was being like, ha ha, don't know what you're talking about. Get the hell out of here, you crooked ref.
No, what I didn't need was her saying, what are you, one of those NXT call-up refs trying to make it here? When Leon Ruff, that ref's husband, was released a month ago. And they just released two people 2 weeks ago, and they just released people a day ago. Awful. Not cute heat. A shitty thing to do. I don't think this was racial either. I'll tell you what, I'm getting really sick of it. I really need the blow-off to come, because I thought this was one of the best stories they had going. And it is getting very long in the tooth. This is kind of like what AEW is doing with their stables. Like, resolve the situation now, okay? Like, let Naomi beat the ever-loving crap out of her, or whatever's supposed to happen here. Because it's just, now Natalya is a heel, I guess, again, with Shayna. Like, what was this? Forgettable. That's why we forgot to talk about it. It was super short. And stupid.
Yeah, well, and I like the Naomi Sonya stuff, but I'm ready for their match. I'm ready for their match. Mark Losper says there's a super chat about these segments. Despite not watching SmackDown, Roman's gimmick is dull as dishwater. It's starting to tread that way for me.
Yeah.
Kenshiro says Survivor Series go home show. By the way, Brent Lockman says, did anybody see the NXT 2.0 logo being chased around the ring by a Canadian with a chair? That was the end of Rampage with Nick Jackson dressed up in the paint splatter stuff and Christian chasing him. Well played. Well played. So what the hell was it that Jeff Hardy said? The tribal grief or something like that?
I actually didn't catch it.
It was something stupid. About. It was something so stupid. Let me go back on my Twitter and see what it was.
I love bad puns, too. I'm a connoisseur of such.
Let me see. I think he said the tribal grief. Yep, he sure did. Jesus, that's how I feel right now.
Ooh,
I
feel, acknowledge it.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
I guess we should talk about it.
They kicked off the show with Roman Reigns and the Usos out there, and Xavier Woods shows up and they start destroying the throne, the crown. Then Xavier gets mad. Not the crown. Just have another one made. Who gives a shit? Have another one made. And then he gets beaten up.
Your hamburger.
He gets beaten up and he's like, you know what? I'm going out there at the end of the night. And the Usos and Roman Reigns are going to be confronting Xavier. They're going to jump him again. But as Roman makes his way to the ring, we start to see the Usos thrown out. And it's Big E. Big E and Xavier try to lay the smack down. But Roman Reigns just barely escapes. I get them holding off, because you don't want too much physical interaction between Reigns and Big E before this. Not that that's ever worried them before. But this just didn't do it for me. It didn't do it for me.
I didn't like that Xavier Woods gave a promo about you can't beat me with one of your with when your boys aren't here, essentially, and asked for a match, and the match didn't happen, and one of Xavier Woods's boys came out to say him. That doesn't say we're equal. That doesn't say I'm a top face and you're a top heel. That just says I'm a hypocrite, and that's not what baby faces are supposed to be. they're supposed to be good guys to the point where it hurts them. Like it's detrimental to them, but they're that respectful of the rules. I did not like the ending of this at all. I didn't like the beginning and I didn't like the end. And both segments involved, well, the last segment involved both champions, and the first one involved the champion of this brand going into a pay-per-view. Like, it just wasn't, you're gonna get mad about the crown. Like, everything has turned into eighth grade with scooters and motorcycles. Okay, I wasn't like a cool enough eighth grader. I had a motorcycle, but yeah. You know what I mean? Like, instead of stakes, we're gonna get mad about props. Like, this is just so lame.
Mark Losper says Danielson's heel gimmick is what people pretend Roman's gimmick is. Roman is a chicken shit heel masquerading as a killer. It's garbage. He has become one.
Yeah.
He has become one, and that's Paul Heyman says as much in his Helwani interview. He relies on the wise man to give him intel and a heads up. Nerd Guru says Roman's gimmick is treading water, so now they need The Rock, and I don't even care about it. How else could they possibly sell out Dallas twice? Clowns. I think they do need The Rock at this point. Yeah. They need The Rock and Cena, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong about that. I don't know what else does that. I don't know what else sells out Dallas twice other than what you just named, because it's not going to be Lesnar. And to the point about Danielson, one thing I think that AEW...
I think Lesnar will help.
Lesnar will help, yeah. But selling out Dallas, let's not forget how big that stadium is, though, too.
Twice, too.
Yeah, two nights there, that's a lot. So, you know, AEW is really good at having characters just change their perspectives a little bit and booking them as faces and heels. Like, I think that's what we saw with Danielson. He came out and he was the best in the world at this, and now he's a dick who's the best in the world at this or whatever. Like, so it's not like you have to wipe the slate clean every time. You kind of did with Roman because it was such a failed experiment for so long. But like, these perspective changes, these little hints of things make those turns much more organic and easier to get behind. This is getting stale for me on the Roman front. This is a tough time of year for WWE programming anyway, because they're just never going to set up anything that consequential before Royal Rumble anyway, because that's the reset button. So I think it'll be waffly for a few more weeks. And then when the new year comes, it'll make more sense. But Alex on the Tuesday night show likes to say that the blonde Uso, who is another member of this wonderful family, he could be main roster ready. That could be a very fun wrinkle to enter into this, or even if they don't use him, something's got to shake up with the Usos a little bit. Like, something in the story needs to move that's not necessarily detrimental to Roman's title picture, but like, things in the bloodline could happen that would keep it fresh and moving forward.
We got a pity humper chat for SmackDown from Joey Bag of Donuts, and Jambeard kind of finishes up and saying, can we hear the New York Princess's opinion of the Naomi Sonya Baszler feud?
I mean, I just want all the girls to have fun. I keep those gimmicks for Tuesday nights, but sometimes they travel over here.
Kate's already done her plug, so I'll do mine. I'm here on Sunday for Survivor Series, FightfulSelect.com. Thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.